There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you for tuning into this Wednesday edition of the podcast. I'd like to welcome each and every one of our listeners. We certainly are thankful for each and every one of you. And we're going to deal with Hebrews still and be back in chapter 10 today in just a moment. I want to remind you tonight on YouTube, South Liberty Baptist Church in Liberty, Maine, will be available online for tonight's service at 7 o'clock. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you attend. And then on Thursday at 6 p.m., New Life Baptist Church at Dover, Foxcroft, Maine. And they also will be streamed online. And so you're welcome to either follow the services, tune in, or attend the services there. And then Sunday down at Tremont, they do not have live stream. You're going to have to attend in person. Would love to have you. If you need a trip to Maine for the weekend, come down for the preaching, stay for the lobster. Amen. And so just try to be a blessing to the church there. We thank the Lord for the folks there on the coast. And we're back in Hebrews chapter 10. And it's interesting, I mentioned these churches, and we mentioned the Lord's Day on Sunday. And I realize the day of the Lord is a day which is yet to come. But we reference the Lord's Day as a day which we assemble together and dedicated wholly unto the Lord. It is a day set apart that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we come and we speak of Him. We preach the Word of God. We assemble ourselves together. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. Assemble ourselves together. And how we thank the Lord for that opportunity. We thank the Lord for that privilege that we have to assemble. And so we come together normally on Sunday. That is the tradition of most. And he tells us in our passage in Hebrews chapter 10, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, semicolon, and then there's parentheses, for he is faithful that promised, semicolon, parentheses. And so we have to look at the grammar of this. Continuation from wavering, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That again is what God has instructed us to do. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so he goes on and tells us these things. One, we're going to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What is that profession? Does that mean that's the time I went down to the altar and I repeated the prayer? Or is that the time that I confessed before the church that indeed I accepted Jesus Christ? Or is the profession of my faith the knowledge that Jesus Christ has given me the full assurance of faith? And I believe that's what he speaks of when he talks about our profession. It's not what we said. It's the profession that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's Lord of our life because he has purged our conscience. He has put his laws in our heart, in our mind. We're his children, and now his spirit bears witness that indeed we are the children of God. That is our profession of faith. He said, let us hold fast to that without wavering, for he is faithful to promise. And then it says, and let us, this is God's let us patch, consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, colon. So he's going to give us another statement here, but he tells us all of this before he tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So where do we accomplish this? We accomplish this in the assembly of the believer. A dear brother many years ago explained the assembly as this. You get that bicycle for your children, or if you're a child, you get that bicycle on Christmas morning. It says some assembly required. Well, what happens to have a good assembly? You have to have the right pieces, the right components, the right parts. You have to put them in the right order, and they all have to come together to form a bicycle. Otherwise, it's not an assembly. So it is with the church. It's not just a meeting. It's not just us coming together or getting together. The assembly is the right pieces, the right parts, in the right place, at the right time. That is the assembling of ourselves together. And that's what God requires of the church. As I sit here in the office of the church, I was looking at the membership roll posted on the wall of active members. what is required to have an assembly. The active members that are physically able come and gather together under the purpose of exhorting one another, under the purpose even so much more as you see the day approaching, but also the purpose of provoking unto love and to good works, and to help others hold fast their profession without wavering. That's why we exhort one another. And again, the King James Bible never uses the word encourage. The King James Bible in the New Testament never says the word encourage or encouragement or encouraging, but 33 times it says to exhort or exhorted or exhorting. And again, that's a verbal challenge to lift someone up to a higher level of character and excellence. A higher level of morality is what OED says. That's the Oxford English Dictionary. And I would stand with that definition. We don't just encourage, which means to restore courage. Most people aren't in a fight. You only need courage if you're in a fight. And most are not in a battle. Most are not in a fight. But what most people are, they're overthrown by this world, overthrown by their flesh, overthrown by the things of this life, the affairs of this life. So when we assemble together, there's a couple things we're going to do. We're going to show that we hold fast to this profession that Jesus Christ indeed has written his laws in our hearts and in our mind. And then we're going to consider one another. We're going to look at others and provoke one another. And that literally is a provocation. You're to come and you're going to challenge each other unto love and to good works. When you see your brother caught in bitterness, you're going to provoke him to love. When you see them caught in a snare of sin, you're going to provoke them to love and to good works. When you see your brother just lethargic and indifferent and depressed and saddened or downtrodden and sorrowful, you're going to provoke them to love and to good works. Why? Because ultimately, that is the purpose of this assembly. It is for our benefit. And folks seem to think, well, you know, just be indifferent. We kind of go to church when we want to. And, well, you know, we can't come to church this week. We got, you know, a couple of hairs growing out of our nostrils. We're really uncomfortable with that. Or one lady said one time, I'm just not real comfortable people seeing me in this condition. That's the kind of condition you need to be in for people to see you. Then they can provoke you to love and to good works. When you're so low and so depressed and you're angry with people and hateful to people, you ought to come to the house of God. When you feel like nobody loves you, you ought to come to the house of God. When you feel like nobody cares, you ought to come to the house of God. When you feel so low and so despondent, you think that nobody's ever going to care again, that's when you come, that others may provoke you to love and to good works. And then he said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, each piece, each part, each one comes together. Why? That the whole might be edified. For he said this, but exhorting one another, not encouraging, exhorting, challenging each other, speaking to each other, calling each one of us to live right, to walk right, to walk according to the exhortation that is presented to us by the word of God. And he goes on, he says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so he didn't call for less church. Sorry, people. He didn't call to have less services. He didn't call to have less time together. He called so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why is that? Because the days are waxing worse and worse. Men are waxing worse and worse. The days are evil. And we need to redeem the time. How much time is time ill spent with God's people at the assembly of the church? How much time is poorly spent when the church comes together and we come with the purpose in mind of exhorting one another? How much of that is wasted time? Now, what is a lot of wasted time is all the silliness and the fooliness and the test of balonies and the carnal things. And my child's got to sing and I got to sing and I got to do this. And boy, we just want to be seen of men. All that just foolishness and fluff. God's not in 1,000 miles of that kind of stuff. What God is involved in is the exhortation of the saints of God, exhorting one another. While it is today, we exhort one another, by the way. He said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What God is interested in is we assemble ourselves and lift each other up and challenge one another and consider one another and provoke one another to love and to good works. And by the way, when you see somebody do a good work, you ought to praise them and laud them for that. That's part of that love. That's part of that verbal challenge. That's part of provoking one another. Hey, sister, I think you did a good job with that. Hey, brother, I think you did a good job with that. Hey, you know what? I feel like God was pleased with that. We ought to have more of that. We ought to do this a little bit more, not a little bit less. Hey, pastor, Why don't we have more meetings? Hey, Pastor, why don't we assemble more? Hey, why don't we have a Friday night service? Hey, why don't we have a Monday morning? Hey, it's a holiday. Let's get together and exhort one another. There's too much food involved today. That's the problem. There's too many people worried about, and some dear friends of ours recently been converted to Christ in the last couple of years. They said they were raised their whole Christian life outside of Christ, but raised the idea that fellowship is when you get together and you eat food and you talk about crops and you talk about finances, you talk about business, and the ladies talk about housewares and housekeeping and sewing and patterns, and you know, you come together. They call that fellowship. No, fellowship is with the Son and with His Father, and we get invited into that fellowship, and then we invite you into that fellowship, and we meet more and more as we see the day approaching. Why do we do that? We come to that assembly one more time in a hopes that somebody is going to grasp the understanding that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord, and if they can believe that in their heart, they'll come to salvation. Is that not why we assemble? But yet, so much the more is now, well, let's just meet once a week. Pastors say, I can't get people to come out to special meetings. Well, you know, it's amazing. Goats love the goat yard. They just do. And I know the Bible speaks of the goat nations, and I've got reproved for preaching goats and sheep and outside of the context of nations. But you realize you can't lead a goat. You can't make him drink water. You can't make him eat. But you realize the sheep, my friend, if you have an assembly and you call an assembly together, the sheep can usually clear their schedules for something like that because of that desire that God has written his laws in their hearts and in their mind. And they know the law of God is in there to exhort one another. The law of God is to draw nigh unto him. The law of God to draw closer to him, to learn more of him. And yes, they might initially kick. Yes, the flesh is exhausted. Yes, the flesh is weary. Yes, the flesh is overthrown. When that assembly comes together and we exhort one another, oh, what a joy that is. What a blessing that is. But the Bible tells us this. This is why we do this. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You see, that sacrifice has already been made. And if we willfully, we've received the knowledge of the truth, and we willfully come and sin, there's no more sacrifice for sin. There's no lamb that can be offered. There's no blood that can be offered. There's no sacrifice. Why? Because Jesus Christ is that sacrifice. But the Bible tells us then, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. They received the truth. They rejected the truth. They rejected the thought of Jesus Christ. They died without mercy. And then verse 29, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and is done despite to the Spirit of grace. You've been sanctified. You've counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing, and have done despite to the Spirit of grace. Who is that speaking of? It's those, he tells you, that should be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. That's who it's speaking of. And this is an unholy thing. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and go sin anyway. I'm going to go ahead and go out there and just live in sin. But you know why we come together? You know why we assemble ourselves? To warn one another. We're to exhort each other. Don't go into sin. Listen, when that woman winks at you at the store, she winks at every man. It's not personal. Hey, buddy, you got nothing. When that man speaks smooth words to that lady, hey, lady, you're not special. He talks that way to every woman. He's just looking to get you caught up in sin. He's just looking to destroy you. When the old tempter comes and tells you, you can have something that doesn't belong to you, that old covetous sneaks up there, and you deliberately, like Achan, go and take that accursed thing and hide it in your tent, and then you go sit on that little thing and hide that thing and cover up that thing, you've trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God. And my friend, you've counted that covenant an unholy thing. You've done despite to the Spirit of grace. And yet so many today, they claim they're sanctified by the blood. They're not concerned what God says, not concerned about the laws written in their heart, not concerned with the laws written in their mind. They just want their flesh. They want their beans, if you will. They want their pottage, O Esau. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. That's who the Lord's going to judge, his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So again, we assemble ourselves. We exhort one another. We call each other to righteousness. We call each other to holiness. We call each other to live right, to walk right, to live for God, to walk with God. And we do this with the intent not for self-gain, not for self-profit, but that you might profit from it, that you might receive the grace of God, and that you might receive the mercy of God, not like those in Moses' day that they died without mercy, but that you might receive the mercy of God, that you might find a place of repentance, unlike Esau, who died without finding that place of repentance, that you and I, we come down and assemble ourselves at the place of the assembly. We exhort one another. We provoke one another to love and to good works, lest any one of us be caught up in sin, any one of us to despise the Spirit of grace, lest any one of us be wrapped up in our iniquity and fall. That's why we assemble. That's why we come together. And he said, so much the more. I suspect if we assembled far more than what we do, there would be less people caught up in sin. I believe there'd be more people converted. I believe there'd be more people come to Christ. I believe, as weird as it is, as crazy it is to people, I believe if we'd assemble so much the more, I believe God could have his will and his way in the workings of our life. Lord willing, we'll be back on here tomorrow to finish chapter 10.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com, and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing.